Well, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, no matter what time of day it is where you are, and no matter where you're located, right here, right now, you are with me, Laura Padgett, and this is my podcast, Living What You're Given. And you know, friends, it is so difficult sometimes to understand our life's course and our control of it, or lack thereof sometimes. But today I've brought a special guest who's going to help us identify when we're in a rut and how we can get out of it. I hope you'll enjoy this, and I hope, like me, you will see that sometimes in order to get out of a rut, actually, we have to step out of the boat. Well, hi, friends, and welcome back into Living What You're Given. I am Laura Padgett, and I am your host for this particular podcast. And as always, I have a very fun and interesting and inspiring guest for you today. But before we get to my guest, I want to talk about that music. For those of you who have been listening to this show for the last two seasons, and we are now in our third, that song started the first season off because the name of it is Stepping Out of the Boat. And as we move through this conversation, for me, stepping out of the boat to be a podcaster at 70 years old was really getting out of a rut. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, is how to get out of ruts. Anybody feel like you're in a rut out there? Okay, this is for you. And if you aren't, this is for you, because you will be. Honestly, at some point. But I don't want to keep you waiting any longer. That music's by Stephen Ray Watts. It's called Stepping Out of the Boat. His info is always in the show notes. Do connect with him. We'll get to that a little bit later. Right now, I want to introduce you to my guest, Jerry Dugan. Hiya, Jerry.
Hey, Laura. How are you?
It's a wonderful day here in Montrose. But Jerry, first thing I want to tell you, my friend, before I tell everyone else, is you are at my kitchen table. Awesome. I don't have a studio. I probably never will. And what I do is I want folks to be as comfortable as they would be having a cup of coffee with me at this table. So welcome to the table, Jerry Dugan. Awesome. And I am pronouncing that right, right?
You're saying it perfectly.
Oh, yeah. I love being perfect. Just a little pressure, but I can handle that. Yeah. But folks, I really am excited about this message. I listened to this man's podcast. You're going to hear why on this broadcast. But for right now, let's give you just a wee taste of who he is. My friend, Jerry Dugan, is the owner, CEO, and senior consultant of BTR Impact. And that is a company that consults and trains folks with the focus of helping them live their best life. And I know that sounds kind of trite today because a lot of people are selling that message. But one of the ways that Jerry goes about it that is so unique is in the focus of get out of what you do it if it isn't serving you. He has been in our United States Army. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate that. My father was combat as well. And I've talked about him so often, but the U.S. Army as a combat medic. Hello, corporate training facilitator, organizational development leader. You know, he has served as a leader in combat zones, in ministry, and corporate environment restructuring. So all this stuff has helped him to come forward and bring his company into the light of really encouraging others, even in the fear sometimes. And we're going to talk a little about that too. But since 2015, he's had and hosted and been the producer of Beyond the Rut podcast. And as soon as we get into this, I'm going to tell you what the opening line of that is and why it's so intriguing to me and why it embraces us where we are and who we are and helps us to maybe move out if we need to. He lives in Dallas, Texas.
Woohoo!
Yay! And he likes to hang out with his three cats, a dog, and he's very proud that he has no car loans. He lives with his wife, Olivia. They have an empty nest, meaning that it's just them, but it's okay because the kids are always coming back and forth, I'm sure. Yeah, that's the way it is. So, Jerry, that's your bio that I have, and I want to thank you again for being here. Do you have anything to add to that, my friend?
Oh, man, fun fact. We convinced our daughter to just move less than half a mile from us. So she has her own place. We get to visit her. She gets to visit us.
Ah, great.
At the end of the night, she goes home. She takes care of herself and has her own thing. And our son is moving up to Dallas in a couple of months. So, and they're going to be neighbors. They're going to live in the same apartment complex. They got themselves a two-bedroom apartment. We jokingly say, so we can go over and visit and have a trip over there. And they keep laughing. We're like, what? I don't understand. But we're excited. We're going to have our grown-up babies in the area while we now have our cats, who've kind of replaced them in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And it's just been fun. It's been a very nice ride ever since Emma graduated from high school and went off and did her own thing.
That's wonderful. And congratulations on that. Family's important. And I think I love the idea of the empty nest because, you know, you see the baby birds and how they get fed and nurtured and taken care of. And then mom or dad are like, bye. And I don't mean that in a bad way. I just mean that's how my generation grew up. You know, it's like you are being raised and taught how to live life on your own. And that you've done a great job and good for you and good for them. So, Mr. Jerry, I want to talk today. I believe in my heart of hearts, and anybody can disagree with me, that we're all kind of in a rut right now. We're in a collective rut. So what happened in 2020, for those of you who were not on planet Earth, we had a pandemic. And talk about isolated, right? I mean, it's terrible when you are actually putting your best jewelry on to go to the Costco because that's your only outing in 6 weeks. And it became a way of life. Then slowly we've begun to emerge, right? Like the little baby turtles out of the sand. And I don't know about anyone else, but I have felt like I didn't know what to do. And I still don't in a lot of ways. So I think there might be some people out there in the listening audience that are also feeling that rut. And what I love about your podcast, you guys, you got to listen to this podcast. His intro, Beyond the Rut, is a podcast that shares encouraging stories and practical tools to help you pull out of your rut. So let's talk about the rut, shall we, Jerry?
Yeah.
What are we talking about? What's a rut?
So a rut, essentially, and the shortest way to answer that is with any dictionary definition, and it's a pattern of behaviors that are dull or not productive. And so that essentially is the rut. It's kind of doing the same thing day in and day out. There's no excitement. There's no passion in what's being done. You're just kind of on autopilot. And when we started Beyond the Rut, there were three of us who got together and we started Beyond the Rut because we wanted to we wanted to encourage specifically Christian men who are married. They're in their 30s and 40s. They've got children. They have all the boxes checked of what success is supposed to look like, yet they're in that rut. They feel like they're just doing the same thing every single day, and life is just dull. It doesn't have any meaning for them. They sense deep down that their connection with their family is starting to drift apart. And at the same time, they don't know why. They don't know what's going on. They're doing everything they're supposed to be doing. And so Beyond the Rut shares a lot of stories. Well, I say we, but I mean, now it's just myself on the show. Brandon retired a couple of years back because he became a grandfather. And, you know, he honestly just thought about it. He's like, do I want to spend 5 to 6 hours with Jerry recording or would I rather be with my grandkids?
You
And
bet.
so, true to the message, Beyond the Rut, he chose the grandkids. He handed everything off to me. And then Sean was the original person, the third person on the show, and he bowed out early on because he had other endeavors he really needed to pursue. So, also true to the show. So the idea is helping folks see through the stories of others that, we all face a rut. This is what it looked like for this person or this person. And this was their aha moment when they realized, I am stuck in a rut. Here's the area that I'm stuck in. This is specifically what I'm stuck in. And then here's the practical thing I did to change things around, whether it was to shift their mindset, maybe get their finances in order, whatever it is. They took a look at most likely one of the five F's that we refer to, their faith, their family, their fitness, finances, or their future growth. And once our guests made that realization in their own lives, they made a change. It was very focused, very determined. And by the time they wind up on our show, they've been doing that for years and years and years. And, they still don't have it all figured out, but they've at least figured that rut out. They've gotten past it and they're growing. And then they're preparing themselves to recognize the next rut that starts to form, so they can proactively and preemptively get themselves out of that. And that's been the theme for over 300 guests who've been on the show in the last 8 years, well, 7.5 years, but I rounded up. And I love doing that show. I get to meet some great people, folks that I normally wouldn't get to talk to if it weren't for this show. Guys like Lee Cockerell, who retired as a senior executive running Walt Disney World Resort. My wife and I love Walt Disney World. So to be able to talk to that guy, the guy who also opened up Disneyland Paris, that made me look like a superstar to my wife. And, now she still picks on me. She's like, how come you still haven't gotten like free tickets from Lee? I'm like, I can't ask him that. Like, I'm
I was gonna ask. Okay.
like I only know the guy through interviews. We're not that close yet.
Yeah. Well, I think that's great. It's you've given a great overview, and we're gonna break it down now because I feel like, as I said earlier, I feel like we're all kind of in a rut. And my rut, when I in 2020, when Keith and I moved here, we moved 250 miles away from where we lived. And I always tell people, and this is really true, as we were going out of Denver, we were heading over the mountains. We had several passes to go over to come over here to the little valley town we live in now. One of the reasons we did that was because we were just in a rut. We just couldn't, things were just going along, going along, going along. But in that time, I was also speaking 3 times a month. I was doing book tours. I was doing all of these things. I thought, well, I'll just take that on over to Montrose. Well, boom, as we were literally driving out of Denver, I remember the image of things closing behind us. It was March 26, 2020. The governor closed Colorado down. And there were signs everywhere in Gunnison, everywhere saying, don't stop. And so we were done. The door was closed. The door was closed. And when I got over here, I thought, like everyone else, well, this is only gonna last a couple weeks and we're all gonna be, back to whatever. Well, it didn't, did it? And so I have as you're an author, we're gonna talk about your work too. But I have a closet full of books and I had no speaking engagements that I could even come to, nothing. All the things I've been trained to do, all the things I've been doing for 20 years. So I was in a rut. And lo and behold, along came Eric Nevins and we talked about podcasting. He said, well, let, try this for a few years. And that's where I met you. We met in a podcasting, Christian Podcasting Association group. But so I'm very familiar with ruts, but I'm also familiar with the fact that, and I hope we're going to touch on this a bit. I didn't know I was in a rut. So as we talk about this rut thing, how do we know? You've partially answered that, but how do we know?
And for the most part, especially when the rut is sneaking up on us, we're most likely going to be clueless.
Okay.
And so two ways, I myself just went through one at the end of 2022. Didn't even realize I was in one. But there were two things that became very apparent. The first one was deep down, I did have this sense of, again, like not being productive.
Okay.
So I'm doing these same activities every week. I'm getting up Monday morning, Tuesday morning, all the way through Friday. I'm going to a job that pays really well. highest income I've ever earned in my life, highest level of title I've ever held in, as far as positions go. I had a team reporting to me that I loved working with. They loved working with me. But at the same time, I felt like every morning I was walking into a jail cell, and I couldn't put my finger on it. Why? And then I felt like it didn't matter what I was doing anyway, because my work wasn't going to build any kind of legacy where I was. Like, it was just gonna, there was gonna be a reset button hit, and it wouldn't be me pushing the reset button, but I just knew deep down my work wasn't going to last. And that was just, again, deep down. I had that weird general feeling. I couldn't pinpoint exactly where that was. But then one day, I go to a podcast movement, and I've a great time there. I network with some of my podcasting heroes. I'm going to name drop Lou Mongello from WDW Radio. He was there for the first time in years. I happened to be there. He was in my town, and I got coached by that guy for free for about 30 minutes. To him, it was a conversation. To me, I was mentally taking notes the whole time. I'm like, this guy just told me I need to build a community. He just told me I need to build a business platform off of what I've been doing for almost 8 years. Like, just challenging me left and right. And pointing out limiting beliefs I didn't realize I had. Why don't I feel like I could launch a business with what I already know and do and what the audience already have? And I was like, I don't know. I like, who am I to charge them? And he goes, we got to point that out. Your show's called Beyond the Rut. I'm like, yes. Well, why is it you feel like you're not worth getting paid for the expertise you have and the way you're
Exactly.
transforming people's lives or helping people transform their lives? That's the first thing you need to get out of, especially if you want to live up to your show. That didn't end the conversation with him, but it was, that's all I heard after that was, wow, I need to work on that. I need to change that limiting belief. Well, I go to work the next, Monday, and things just snowball out of proportion and reason, and it just clear as day. Ah, this is why I feel like my life is going nowhere professionally. And it was apparent. The toxicity that was present, the reset button that I felt like was going to be hit, that was it. It was being pushed right then and there in front of my eyes, out of my control, but I was going to be the guy left with all the baggage. And I go home and I share this with my wife, and she watches me wrestle with this all Labor Day weekend. Finally, on that Monday morning, as I'm still wrestling with it, I didn't sleep well for 3 nights in a row. She says, Jerry, and this is the second reason or the second way I knew I was in a rut. So the first one was all internal self-reflection, self-exploration, looking at the five F's. How am I doing in my faith walk? How are things with my family? Things are good. How is my fitness level? Well, I gained about 35, 40 pounds, but I also stopped working out and eating well. But that, I like quickly moved away from that. How are finances? Finances are great. How's my future possibilities? Well, I'm growing with the podcast. I'm going to start a side hustle and grow a business with my podcast. And my career, I'm solid. It's probably going to be about 4 or 5 years before I become an executive, and I'm okay with that if I want to be an executive in the first place. So to me, I felt like something was wrong, but when I went through the five F's, things were okay. And that should have been my clue. They were just okay. My fitness was probably the thing I noticed. Why did I put on 35 to 40 pounds? Why don't I feel motivated to get up and work out every day? Why don't I feel motivated to eat healthier and eat cleaner? Instead, I want to feed whatever's going on, feed my stress. But that second way,
Stress.
yeah, oh man, I was stress eating like
Stress.
crazy.
Stress.
Cake.
Huge, huge.
Cake became a food group. And ice cream was another one. It was like,
I
get this.
remember seeing you eating on the podcast
Yes.
association thing, and I was always wondering, gosh, did you bring enough for everyone, Jerry?
Right? Oh, man. Paula
I
Chamberlain, apparently I built a reputation for myself as always eating that podcast move in
just
2021. Paula Chamberlain and is it Guthrie? Her husband?
I can't
Anyway,
remember. I'm sorry.
they brought me a snack bag that they picked up on the way in. They drove in to Nashville and they stopped at either a Piggly Wiggly or a Kroger, and they bought me snacks to get through the week. And they handed it to me on day one. And I'm like, wow, why'd you guys give me snacks? You're like, well, we figured you needed something through all the sessions. I'm like, Oh, wow. I built a reputation here I didn't
Yeah,
expect.
that's right. So you had an internal inventory. Now
Yes.
the externals are starting, the wife, call
Yes.
in her husband, the other thing, the externals are starting to verify what your gut told you.
Yes. So that Labor Day weekend in
Wow.
2022, my wife sees me still wrestling Monday morning. So a holiday, a day of rest. And I am still thinking about what do I do about the work situation?
Yeah.
And my wife just says, Jerry, just quit your job. And she's Miss, don't quit your job until you found another one. You know, let's make sure we got the financials. We're never going to live the real estate career ever again. You know, like, let's never do that to ourselves. Let's never not listen to each other about our concerns and fears. And here she is telling me, quit your job.
Wow.
And I knew that went away, that went against everything that she's typically about. And you know, when it comes to work and income and so on. And so that caught my attention. I asked her, well, I can't leave now. She said, Jerry, I haven't had my husband for about a year and a half to 2 years. And I see you get up. Well, actually, she doesn't see me get up, but she sees me leave for work and she sees that there's no motivation there. And she sees me come home and she sees how upset I am with how the day went and who I'm specifically not happy with. And here I am after a big catastrophic event, and I'm still trying to figure out how to fix it. But the reality is, the person who needs fixing is never going to fix himself. And so if I stay, it's just going to be me living in this person's mess
Right.
for as long as I'm there, as long as he's there, whatever the case may be. And she said, I want my husband back.
Priorities.
Yeah. And she said, I'd rather you quit that job. Go get another job somewhere, somehow, and we'll be okay. And I mean, and at this point, you know, one of those five F's is finances. We had just wiped out our car debts. We sold our home. We got rid of all our consumer debt, and we basically reduced our expenses by like $1,500 a month just by doing that. So our savings account went from being able to last for 2 to 3 months to it can now extend out 6 months, you know, 9 to 12 if we ate beans and rice, but we were like, well, let's not go too crazy here.
And I've never seen beans and rice ice cream. I'm just saying, but we could
Yeah,
have a
okay.
market. We could have a market here. Anyway,
Yeah, I mean, the Koreans
wow.
have rice cakes though, so I mean no, I'm
That's gluten-free rice cakes, I could
right.
tell you. We love
And so I
them.
still was like, well, it'll be okay. And she said, no. I didn't tell you this because I didn't want to freak you out. But you remember when Jacob came to visit us a few months back? And I was like, yeah, it was like just 2 months prior to all this happening. She said, well, after he went home, he called me a couple of days later and he asked, are you and Dad okay? And I was like, what?
Wow.
Huh? She goes, yeah, that's what I thought. It was so weird because I asked him if he talked to his sister and he said, no, it was just something, you know, his girlfriend and he had noticed while he was visiting us was that, you know, I would come home from work and I was just mad at everything. And like I never lashed out or anything, but he could tell like I was short with my answers, very little patience on trying to understand people or understand a situation or, you know, whatever we're trying to do. I was just like quick, boom, here's my answer. Let's go make it happen. And so he thought, well, it's between mom and dad. There's something
Ooh.
going on there. And Olivia, I mean, she's like, no, it's not us. He's just got a lot going on at work, and I know it's work because, you know, when he's not thinking about work, he opens up and I get my Jerry back. But then he thinks about work again, and that's it. He's back into this other Jerry that you saw, and he's like, okay. And even he was like, he should probably quit that job if it's doing that to him. And so there's my son at 21 years old saying, yeah, Dad should just quit if that's doing that to him. And then so a few months prior to that, earlier in that year, our daughter had come to visit because she was thinking of, this is before she moved up here. So she was thinking about what's it like moving up here and living in Dallas. But before she went back to Corpus Christi, she asked my wife the same thing, in a conversation, just the two of them. Are you and Dad okay? Are you
Yeah.
guys going to get divorced? And that
Wow.
was the first time Liv heard it. She's like, wait, what? No, where's that coming from? And so when our son had come forward a few months later and said the same thing, that's when it was clear for Olivia, there is a pattern. Our kids who live outside the house, they can come in for a day or two and see that there's something off. And so, bless them for being able to say something to Olivia. And so when we're having this conversation on Labor Day weekend, I'm hearing Olivia's perspective, and God usually speaks to me in triplicate. I'm a guy and I need to hear it multiple times. So in that moment, I'm hearing it from my wife that she wants her husband back. I'm kind of hearing from my son, Dad's different and I don't like it. And then I'm hearing from my daughter, same thing. Dad's changed. We don't like it. And hearing that, it was just that realization, like those five F's are in order of priority for me. So first and foremost is my faith. Right after that is my family. The finances is two levels after that. And so why am I holding on to this job? It's the golden goose egg. It's the six-figure income. It's the director title. All the things that attract men to say, I am successful. Yet in that moment, on that weekend, contemplating everything that's going on, it's clear as day that if I hold onto that finance part, the six-figure income and the director title, it's going to cost me my family. And look, and that was the clarity with the five F's. Like I'd done my own inventory before, didn't quite see it. Having that outside perspective from my wife, I guess secondary, hearing it from my kids, it was clear. Okay, my family is at stake because of this rut I'm in my career, and my work environment. And if nothing changes, it's gonna take its toll. And then, once I realized that, the fitness part made sense. The stress eating, not working out, not having motivation to work out, not taking the initiative to get up and move around. All that made sense. It was just easier to hide in a book or hide in a project or, just veg out for 2 hours during my personal growth time in the morning. And it was like, wow, because of the stress at work and the toxicity there, I'm letting it impact these other areas of my life. So that Tuesday, I typed up my letter of resignation. I had it ready. I walked over to HR. I said, hey, I'm going to be leaving. You're probably going to hear a lot of stories why and speculation. Here's my side of it. And I'm going to go back to my office and submit my 30-day notice. Because as a director, I had to give a 30-day notice. And yeah, because everybody kept asking me, why didn't you just leave in 2 weeks? Why 30 days? I'm like, no, by policy, I was obligated to give 30 days. And so, yeah, I did that. And the moment I hit send, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. My own team, I told them next what had happened, what I had done. And it liberated them because, I mean, they were already thinking about leaving.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, they were first. They were the ones ready to quit before me. And they had consistently been telling me for weeks, we are only staying because we like working for you. And you trust us, you enable us, you empower us, you equip us. We feel like our careers have growth and a future when it's coming from you. But then the other guy takes it all away, and that's why we're looking for new jobs. And I realized if I'm the only thing holding them back in this environment, I need to get out of the environment. So it wasn't just for myself. Like, I mean, I quit for me. I'm not gonna
And
be
your
like, I'm on,
family, and
and my
also your
family,
family.
yeah.
Absolutely.
And the added bonus was I was also removing a barrier or a crutch that my team was holding on to. Like maybe Jerry can make things better. And I was just realizing I can't because no matter what I do or try, I was going to be bypassed and things are just going to be worse. And so the only thing we could do for all ourselves was to get out of there. And that's hard because my background, my job is to go into teams and departments and organizations that struggle with this kind of thing, who have a toxic leader or a toxic employee, toxic culture within the department, and then help them navigate out of there. And here I am in my own department, not able to affect that in any way, shape, or form, other than to just get out.
Well, let me ask you this then. So, folks, I'm hoping as you hear this story, you may not be in this position. I think most of us have been in a position like this in jobs. And I mean, we could all sit down and inventory this and say it. But what I'm hearing Jerry say, and I'm so excited about it, is Our ruts are not individual. They sort of like a little spider has a lot of legs, and I'm not a spider fan, but you know how all the legs and they reach out and they're different, that it goes different ways. So when I am in a rut, it can affect my husband, it can affect everything around me. Now I'm not employed outside my home anymore, but I am very grateful to hear you say this about this is what you did. And we're not saying go in and resign, folks. That may not be, no, we're not giving advice here. That may not be what's right for you. It still isn't going to hurt to make a list of what really matters in life. And one thing I heard one time was, what on your deathbed, I hate to bring up this, but we are all going to die, right? Nobody's getting out of here alive. The famous Kermit the Frog, that wise amphibian, told us. And I'm so excited that you brought that up, that it is up to us to do the inventory. I love that you listened to people around you. Sometimes I'm reluctant to do that. Well, you don't understand. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, you have no idea. But the fact is, God often sends those external voices to us to undergird and support and even validate the inner voice. So this was your journey. So you quit. And I want to make the point too that sometimes this is in relationship. Sometimes to evaluate those things of what is this relationship really doing that we have to, or affiliations. I've heard people talk about ruts in churches. I've heard them talk, of course, political ruts or whatever. And to say this can be applied not just to your job, but to other areas where you've invested a great deal of time and energy. So where are you now with all this, Jerry?
Oh man. So because of that event, I revisited my vision for my life. And and I just happened to be working on that book at the same time. Like I'd recommitted, I'm gonna get my book done that's based on the show, the show's message, Beyond the Rut. What is that manifesto for this show? And in that book, I'm talking about the importance of knowing really what you stand for. What are your values? What is your vision for life? So when you do get to the, like, think about the end in mind. I was in the military and we planned everything with the end in mind. And we also are firm believers in the army that no plan ever survives first contact with the enemy. I think Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face.
That's right.
Yeah, it's like, oh wow, that did not work, and then bam, 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 and you don't adjust fast enough, you just get punched a lot more. But one thing that we would do in the army is every mission briefing started with what was called the commander's intent. So before you went on a patrol, before you went on a mission, and if you listen to, like, in the movies, they kind of pointed out, like, hey, we're gonna sneak into enemy territory, we're gonna blow up that base's radio tower. Well, that's the commander's intent. That no matter what happens, that radio tower has to disappear from this planet. And
Right.
the idea being is that, you're on mission and all of a sudden, in real life, in my case, the job space is untenable, and it's
Okay.
like, all right, well, a lot of people will hold onto that job because the bills require it.
Yeah.
The expectation is, if I leave this job, I may not get another director role. I may have to step down to, like, a manager role or an individual contributor and be a regular employee, and that's going to look bad on my career.
Oh.
Well, that's, if you're defining yourself by your title and your income, then yeah, that is a big problem. But if you really take that time to say, what is it I want in life? Like you had said, what do I want to be known for when I'm on my deathbed? Who would I like to be there at my deathbed, or at my funeral? And that's not something you're going to be able to say, I want these 100 people there. But who are the people that I hope, because I was such a positive influence on them, chose to drop what they were doing and come say their farewells to me? Although I won't be there to see them say it. You know, like, I'll,
I don't know. I've
well,
seen a
maybe.
lot of movies where the dead person was sitting on the coffin and just
Right?
going, "Wow, I'm surprised she's here."
Never thought
You
that
know,
was going to
I never thought
happen.
that. But as we walk into that then, and we're looking more in terms of, let's go back to right now. And I wonder if you have touched on it a little bit in your own personal story, but how, when you bring people in to do coaching, do you do personal as well as corporate coaching?
So far it is corporate, like consulting. So I keep getting asked to do coaching. People are like, you'll make money doing it. People want
I know
you.
it's a
I've got a structure in my head and on a dry erase board right outside this studio. So it's there. I just haven't pulled the trigger on it. You know, why do you want your life to be meaningful? Like, what is it that you're living for? What's going to give your life meaning for you? One example I give is that I went to college to be a doctor. Like I never got to medical school. I was a pre-med student. A 2.1 GPA turns out doesn't get you into med school. And it took about 5 or 6 more years though to realize becoming a doctor was never my dream. Becoming a doctor was my mother's dream. She wanted to graduate college. She wanted to be a doctor. Therefore, her son needed to graduate college, go to med school, become a doctor. That just wasn't my dream. So I had to have a few years where I searched my own soul, my own thoughts, my own vision. And that's where I started with why. You know, what is my thing? What am I gifted in? Had conversations with my wife, my kids. My daughter even once asked me when she was like 9 or 10 years old, what's your ideal job? And that was on my original podcast, Family Time Q&A. And I just found myself blurting it out there. My ideal work is learning how to do things and helping other people learn how to do those things. And she's like, be a teacher? Like, yeah, but not in the K-12 space. They don't get paid enough, and they don't get appreciated enough. But like, leadership would be one of them, communication skills. And you know, those kinds of things I get energized about to see leaders thrive, to have their aha moments and lead their teams better. I love doing that. So for me, when I went through all that just recently, I got back to that. What is my why? What do I love doing? Because I could just leave and go find another job and then find myself in the same kind of mess. So my wife and I, we agreed, we'll take the rest of the year off. So 3 months just to rest, regroup. And I'd let her know, but hey, I did just pay a bunch of money with a self-publishing company to write a book. She's like, yeah, get that money back. Not in terms of a refund, but get that money back by writing the book, publishing it, and earning it through royalties and speaking engagements. I was like, I like that. And so we both agreed to that. So 3 months, rest, heal, write the book. That's it. But at the same time, you know, I took the time to just get back to my why. You know, what is it that my life is about? It's about helping other people live their best lives. You know, Beyond the Rut, the podcast, sharing encouraging stories and practical advice to help pull people out of their ruts to live a life worth living. And so not only does my life need to fit that, and then, you know, I have goals written. You know, what is my faith walk looking like in 2023? What does my family life look like in 2023 and beyond? My fitness levels, what's happened to those? What do I need to put back into place? Finances, we're about to dip into savings. So what do we need to do to get the finances back in order? What's the income level we need to generate in the next 6 months? Those things were things that we were tackling. And then what's the future growth like? Well, let's bring back that personal development time, spending time in the word, prayer, journaling, reading every morning for 1.5 to 2 hours and get some exercise in there. And so now that the book is launched, it's like, all right, now, no excuses, get those things in there. And ever since we did this, so I left, so I put my notice in September. I left my job in October. And somebody asked us just recently, a few weeks back, a marriage mentor of ours, a couple, Glenn and Sean Solberg, husband and wife out of Texas. And we hadn't seen them in about a year. And they asked, hey, so now that we're all caught up, Olivia, my wife, how are things now that Jerry's left his job? He's published a book. He has started his own company, BTR Impact. He's already gotten some gigs under his belt. What are you seeing? Like, what are things like now for Jerry and Olivia? And I almost cried at this dinner table at a public restaurant when Liv just looked up and smiled, and you could see tears glistening in her eyes.
Oh.
And she said, "I got my Jerry back." And I was like, "Oh man."
Yeah.
And
That's
man,
wonderful.
it just like realizing what was really at stake, because I was holding on to a job and a job title, and not really doing what was my purpose, my mission, what would make life meaningful for me. And the great thing was, when I left that job, God, he's got his crazy timing. He gives you those signs, he gives you those like reminders. And I remember, like, I left my job, October 7th was the last day. By that following Monday, I got an email from Johns Hopkins University that said, "Hey, we saw your article that you posted about what to do when you feel stuck in a rut at your job. We'd love you to speak at our career webinar in
Wow.
November. Would you be interested?" The keynote speaker is this guy named Trevor Noah. He's pretty popular. You may have heard of him. And then there's a bunch of other people. And I was just like, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, I don't have a job now, so let me see. I've got the time, but let me see if it's paid." So I replied back, and I didn't trust it though. I was like, "No one's ever reached out to me and said, we want you to speak for us." And so this was the first time, and I had just left my job, and it's from Johns Hopkins. And so I was in disbelief. And again, those limiting beliefs. I thought
There
it
you
was
go.
either a scam or a prank, or they got the wrong Jerry Dugan. So I did my homework on the guy. Like, is this guy for real? It turns out he really was a graduate student at Johns Hopkins University, and his part-time job was at the Career and Development Center, and his email address was real. It wasn't a spoofed email address.
Wow.
And I'm like, "Oh, this is real. Okay, reply back and tell them it would be an honor to share the virtual stage with Trevor Noah. By the way, is this a paid speaking engagement?"
Yes.
And I didn't throw numbers out there or anything. I didn't say I'd only do it if it was like I would have done it for free.
I know. I know. Speakers often do.
Yeah, and they replied back, and they were like, "Oh yeah, sorry we left that out, but there is an honorarium. This is the amount." It wound up actually being higher, so they did a price bump without me asking. And so yeah, November 2022, I had my first paid speaking gig outside of work. And I thought, "Wow, that's amazing." And I'm like, "Okay." And then my wife saw that too. She's like, "You talked for 20 minutes, answered questions for 5 minutes, and somebody cut you a check for $750 on something that you already wrote about as an article." I was like, "Yes, you need to do more of that." I'm like, "Yeah, I do." And
And
then,
that's what you're doing, right? I mean, you're on the speaking, you're trying to find
yes.
other speaking
So
gigs.
yeah, trying to build that
Good.
momentum up.
Great.
Friend of mine came out of the woodwork and said, "Hey, I need to hire somebody to do some training in Corpus Christi for the government. Can you come in January?" He booked me for 2 half-day sessions. So that was our second paid gig. Just got booked for two other engagements. One is for a small company, but they do big things. So a 6-member team wants to do a team building, talk about customer service, communication around service recovery. So a 3-hour workshop. They're going to fly me to Miami, get to hang out with them for an evening, and then fly me back home.
Lovely.
And so that's fun. Again, on topics I already know how to talk about. And then I just signed a deal with another former coworker to do a series of leadership development sessions. And so that's putting money on the books. And so it's coming in. Like, people are seeing, like, "Oh, Jerry's got expertise on servant leadership. He isn't working for that organization anymore. He is a free agent. I need him. I only need him for this one session or this series. Jerry, are you available? Let's talk some things through." And that's just coming
Sure.
out. And it's
That's,
awesome.
I know, and that is awesome. And now I want to do a disclaimer here, folks. Jerry's not guaranteeing you that this is how your life will go.
Oh yeah,
And I
this is not
certainly,
normal.
no, it's, well, I understand, but what his book, and we're going to talk about the title of that and everything here in a minute. But I do need to wrap up. And one of the things that is so important to me, if you could just briefly share, you touched on it earlier. Jerry, how do we know when we're in the rut?
Oh man. It starts with that gut feeling.
Okay, thank
So
you.
number one, that gut feeling, you just feel stuck, unproductive. You're doing all the things you think you're supposed to be doing, but you don't feel like you're going anywhere. And if you want to confirm it, you talk to two or three people you know and trust who know each and every detail about your life. So your spouse, if you got an accountability partner, that person, and ask them from their perspective, how are you doing? What are they seeing? And the only right answer when they tell you is thank you.
Right. And that's the humility that Jesus talks about. It's a humility that is very hard, I think, as humans, to honestly walk into situation and be willing to listen to the truth.
Yeah.
And so that's, if that's really how you feel, folks, I know I've talked to people who say some days they get up and they're just up. That's it. They're not motivated to go do things. And I think certainly there, you're not going to be gung-ho, ever ready, bunny every day. But I think when it's a consistent feeling and it's sort of a, what am I trying to say? I'm showing you my hands, Jerry. People can't see that, but it's kind of like a catch. You get up, you step out of bed. And I love the, and you know, right there, oh, it's just going to be another day and whatever. But I had a friend once that taught me this, and this is a great thing that you just said. Thank you. Sometimes we can be I can be so down, and sometimes you're going through things that demand that you look at them and sit with them and honor them. Sometimes it's grief. Sometimes it's confusion. Sometimes it's trying to find ways to let go in healthy ways around the control of the outcome of your life. But millions. I mean, there's zillions of things it could be. But I once had a friend teach me, and he had been in prison, and he said he got out of bed every day and put his feet on that very cold cement floor, and the right foot was thank, and the left foot was you.
Wow.
Thank you. And this man, I mean, he had some tough times.
Yeah.
He had been in twice, but I have written about that story, and I have talked about that before. But sometimes just to get out and say thank you, not to cover up what you're feeling, but in a way to extract the purpose-driven life from the one who gives you life, the source that you find. And I think that's the inventory tools that you gave us can be used by anybody. If you find yourself in this situation, friends, please know you're not alone. And millions of people live through this and then retire and say, what the heck did I just do? It's hard to feel fulfilled when you don't feel fulfilled, right?
Oh, it's, yeah, definitely.
That's a Lauraism. You can use that if you want. Just kidding. So let's talk about this book, Jerry, because I'm real excited about people hearing about the book. What is the name of the book?
The book is titled Beyond the Rut, Create a Life Worth Living in Your Faith, Family, and Career. It started as the manifesto for the podcast, and it ballooned into an actual framework, you know your rut to get out of and live beyond your rut. So R, recognize the rut you're in. U, understand where it is you want to go. T, take action to get there and measure your progress along the way. And so it's like, wow, I did not expect to stumble on a framework to take into like workshops and so on. But
I love acronyms, and that's a beautiful one.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a beautiful one.
You ultimately want to get out of that rut, but so you gotta assess where you are and where you want to be.
Right.
And
right.
It's available on Amazon as an ebook, as a paperback, and as an audio book, and it's out there now. And if you're like, well, I want to hear more, but I don't want to give Jerry any money, that's fine. I'm giving away the audiobook for free. It's at beyondtherut.com/audiobook. It'll ask for your email address. It'll send you right to a spot where you can listen to it right away. If you want to hear what I sound like as a chipmunk, just put it on 2x speed. It is hilarious, and you get through it. It's like a 2-hour and 7-minute book on audio. On double speed, it's 1 hour and 3.5 minutes, guys.
Okay.
But if you want the paperback or ebook, because you like to read rather than listen, it's available on Amazon.
Lovely. Well, Jerry, can you just give us one or two really quick things to encourage us to move into the best life we can have and to find our purpose and utilize that in the springboarding if we're in the rut? Very briefly, and then we're going to sign her off.
In a very military style comment, I hear my drill sergeant say this in the back of my head. It's life is just too darn short to live stuck in a rut.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Oh, that's your motivation for the day, folks, and hopefully beyond. And I want to tell you that I'm going to put Jerry's website in our show notes, but also there will be some information on his book, where to get it. And I'm going to make sure that I list these five F's because I think that's huge for all of us to look at. So I want to thank you, Jerry. This has been helpful to me. I know it will be to many people. Thank you.
Thank you, Laura, for having me on here. It's been, way too long. I've missed our squirrel moments.
Jerry and I are kind of, we were the outrage in the Christian podcasters.
It's not a miracle they covered any topics with us in the same Zoom room.
And you know how you're in that Brady Bunch Zoom thing. Did you ever notice, Jerry, we were never right next to each other. I don't know if that was on purpose.
Like they were separating these two? Put these two on separate sides of the room here. Like we can still talk and see each other.
But we're just fun people. And Jerry has a great deal of wisdom, not only as a service individual, which is a tremendous place to learn things, but also as an individual who has really lived what he's talking about. He is doing his best to be living what he's given and to turn the tide on that rut. So I want to thank you again, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
And I'm going to be back with you in a couple of weeks, friends. We're going to have a completely different topic for you. And at this point, everything this year in my third season is going to be about turning the tide because, we can turn it. It just sometimes feels like we can't, but we can. And one of the ways is to recognize and honor how we feel and get out of that rut. But for right now, if you want to catch up with me, I'm at lauralpaget.com. And that's where you can find podcast episodes. You can connect with me there. And my information is all there for connection. And you can have a wee look at my two books. One is called Jesus in Shorts. It's 25 short stories of life-changing moments. And the other one's called Dolores Like the River, which is about my entrance into my faith base and the beautiful mentor who helped me understand life is worth living and we can change our lives' paths. So if you get a chance to check those out, go right ahead. And otherwise, I'm just so excited to have had this wonderful guest. And I hope that when it comes your turn to step out of that boat so you can get out of that rut, you'll do it. And you'll do it so you can have a better life. Nobody's going to do it for you, friends. Step out of that boat, won't you? All right. See you next time. Bye-bye.